A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in
concentrate
time
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 318. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Wurzel Gummidge. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, continuing one of the fondest remembered children's television shows of all time, the madcap adventures of the walking, talking scarecrow Wurzel Gummidge, played by none other than John Pertwee himself. We have 30 25-minute episodes on ITV from 1979 to 1981, but then it continues elsewhere.
Absolutely. In the middle of that run, after the third season, I believe, there was a Christmas special, which was close to an hour long, so a longer special episode there. And then later in 1987, there was a series called Wurzel Gummidge Down Under, which gave us 22 episodes as a co-production between Channel 4 and New Zealand Television. So we get that filmed in New Zealand with a different cast, but with John Pertwee and also Una Stubbs reprising their roles and carrying that on a number of years later. And it is something that we always enjoy talking about the Doctors from Doctor Who in different roles. And we have covered quite a few of the Doctors, but this is the first time we're covering John Pertwee in a different role. So I'm pleased to be doing that, as well as talking about this well-remembered major children's television series.
Another tick on the canonical Doctor's tick list here at British Invaders for us. So on we go with Wurzel Gummidge. As we've said before, frequently getting himself into all sorts of scrapes, usually in his pursuit of a nice place to sit down and have a cup of tea and a slice of cake, or in his pursuit of Aunt Sally. So they are forever crashing into parties or jumble sales or various fetes and village events that they're not supposed to be at. Aunt Sally is getting into trouble by seeing herself as the lady of the manor and posing as the woman who owns the posh house. Wurzel Gummidge is crashing down chimneys, invading weddings, and all the time trying to get to the various scarecrow events that he wants to take Aunt Sally to, particularly the scarecrow hop and various dances along the way. And, you know, with his comical appearance and his comical speech, his wonderful way of changing his heads and so on, it's just great fun all along.
Yes, absolutely. And his whole set of mannerisms and the way he walks and everything is very much adapted to this bumbling scarecrow figure. And we have things where he turns up late for his own birthday party, and to the delight of the two children, Sue and John, and the bemusement of their father, Mr. Peters, and the Braithwaites and PC Parsons, you know, there are a number of other characters and residents in this Scatterbrook village, we get you know, some nice comic turns from a variety of other actors and characters who fill this out.
Absolutely. It's great fun. There's a great cast throughout. Wonderful character actors you'll see popping up. And of course, the charming sequence whenever John Pertwee does the head change. Although we know that this did disturb some children and some viewers who found some of his heads rather scary to look at, or even the idea that he's suddenly headless and lifting a sort of strange old turnip and straw head onto his shoulders, and then he's reanimated as John Pertwee again.
Yes, they did sort of nice tricks with the angles of the camera shots and things like that, where you would see him lifting off his head, putting it down, and putting another one on, and then it would change to the camera shot where you see him in the makeup and so on for the new head he's just put on. So they do that. I wouldn't say every episode, but they do that quite a bit for everything from a dancing head to a clever head to a handsome head, all sorts of odd things.
Yes, absolutely. And John Pertwee really sells it when he does the head changes. He really does.
Yeah, they do it nicely. And the, as I say, the editing and the way they put it together, it's a simple way of doing it, but one that works nicely. They learn to do that quite well. As we've mentioned, there was a Christmas special. It was called A Cup of Tea and a Slice of Cake, and it was about double the length of a normal episode, and broadcast just the week after the last episode of Series 3, so it's either separate or part of Series 3, depending how you look at it, broadcast on December 27th, 1980. And it gives us Wurzel set on escorting Aunt Sally to the Scarecrow Christmas party and dance. But the Crow Man is trying to remind him of his duties to direct Father Christmas on his sleigh ride.
Of course, because that's apparently what scarecrows do. They guide Father Christmas on his way.
Well, absolutely. Why not?
Yes. And I should say, I mean, mostly this episode, this Christmas special, is an opportunity for the cast to do a song and dance number, mostly. I guess all these great character actors have got one musical number in them, at least. Obviously, John Pertwee himself gets to do several songs. We know Eunice Stubbs used to be a dancer before she became an actress, and she does a turn as Aunt Sally. We get Barbara Windsor back as the saucy Nancy character. We see a punk rock scarecrow. We have the actor Bill Maynard, who you may remember as Selwyn Froggitt, here playing Sergeant Beetroot, a sort of organizer of the scarecrow dance. And then we have no less than Billy Connolly himself turning up as the visiting Scottish scarecrow, Bogle McNeep. And we get a bit of head-changing confusion there, Brian.
Of course we do. And yeah, lots of fun stuff with all of these actors coming into it. And it's much in, we've seen this in one or two other things, it's much in the Christmas special tradition of that time that you have lots of song and dance numbers. And maybe you get to be a little less strict on the plot and maintaining the details in the world and the like than you would in other things, in other episodes.
Yes, it's a delightful time out for everybody, really. And I should say a little bit of Wurzel Gummidge trivia, that at the scarecrow party, when Sergeant Beetroot is introducing all the various scarecrows as they arrive, you'll get a brief appearance of a character called Earthy Mangold, who apparently is Wurzel's love interest in the books by Barbara Euphron Todd, and not Aunt Sally as she is in the TV series. So a little sort of like nod there to the original source material as well.
Oh, very nice. There was also a stage musical. John Pertwee, Jeffrey Belden, and Una Stubbs starred reprising their roles in Wurzel Gummidge the Musical at Birmingham Rep Theatre in 1981 before it transferred to the West End in London. So there was actually a West End production of Wurzel Gummidge the Musical.
Amazing.
Spectacular that such a thing happened. It was written by Waterhouse and Hall with the music by Dennis King.
And amazingly, their original cast recording from this musical is still available. And it was, in another little fascinating fact, it was recorded at no less a place than Abbey Road Studios. And you can still buy the CD, or if you're on Amazon Prime, you can listen to it on Amazon Music streaming. So, yeah, fascinating. There was a Wurzel Gummidge musical with most of the original cast. And as you say, Brian, it made it to the West End as well.
I have not heard that soundtrack, but I may have to get a hold of that to hear what they did with it. Fantastic that they were able to mount a stage production like that. And also it means that it's a couple of times that John Pertwee was able to reprise one of his major television actors in a big stage production, because there was a Doctor Who stage production in 1989 called Doctor Who The Ultimate Adventure that initially featured John Pertwee as the Doctor.
Yeah, there was indeed. That's right. I remember that. Yes. So here he is with another one of his shows making it to the stage. Fantastic. And we have to believe that in the late 70s and early 80s, Britain went mad for Wurzel Gummidge, because there was not only a musical, there was merchandise. So there were bendy, posable dolls of Wurzel himself, Aunt Sally, and the Crowman. The Wurzel doll came with an extra 3 interchangeable heads, so you could do the actual head change yourself. Obviously, those dolls and the heads are now extremely expensive on eBay. So if you've still got them somewhere in the attic, it might be worth looking them out.
I'm sure collectors are really big on getting a hold of those. There were also puppets. There were rag dolls. There were Viewmaster sets with Wurzel Gummidge content. There were Christmas hardback annuals, hardcover annuals that would come out around Christmas time for all sorts of comic book and TV series. There were Wurzel Gummidge ones that would have some comics in there. There was also a Wurzel Gummidge comic that ran in the Look-In magazine, which was ITV's sort of junior television schedule magazine that had comics for all sorts of ITV series, including Wurzel Gummidge. And there were miniature farm figures of Wurzel and Sally to fit in with these popular farmyard play sets. So there were all sorts of things that were available at the time.
Fascinating stuff. And to eBay we go to search for some of this.
Absolutely. John Pertwee, who had recorded a number of different sort of pop music type recordings related to Doctor Who, or sort of, other sort of children's songs he had done. He recorded a Wurzel Gummidge song that was released as a single, and it reached number 33 on the charts in 1980.
Amazing. John Pertwee and the Wurzel Gummidge single.
In 2016, there was a history of the TV series that sort of documented things, written by Stuart Manning, and that was called The Wurzel Book, and it actually has an introduction by Mark Gatiss.
No less. I'm almost sort of tempted to get it just to read Mark's introduction. Fascinating, the amount of stuff there is out there.
And Stuart Manning has done some work with Big Finish, particularly on the Dark Shadows releases too, so it's nice to see him turning up as someone doing work with Wurzel Gummidge in a book like that.
Amazing stuff. And we've still got a couple of Wurzel Gummidge spin-offs to get to, because of course in 1987, Channel 4 and a New Zealand TV production company picked up the series and moved it lock, stock and barrel to New Zealand. So in the story, Aunt Sally has been sold to a folk museum in New Zealand and is shipped abroad, leaving Wurzel to sort of smuggle himself on board her plane in a sort of comical sequence at the airport, and then get a whole new set of adventures in, as Wurzel says himself, in Zooniland, which ran from 87 to 89. As we've said, 22 episodes, 2 series, one of 10 episodes and one of 12 episodes. And just one little snippet fact from the Wikipedia page. Apparently, this TV show features some very early special effects work in the background by a very young Peter Jackson.
That's wonderful that he was involved in Wurzel Gummidge of all things.
Yes. I mean, later to go on and win Oscars for The Lord of the Rings. And here he is, as in his very early days, doing a little bit of special effects for Wurzel Gummidge Down Under. Fascinating.
That's great. It never quite reached the heights of the original ITV series. This was a number of years later. You know, it was 6 years after the original series had run that it was picked up. The controller of Channel 4 was Michael Grade, who Doctor Who fans will remember well from having put Doctor Who on hiatus in the 80s and sort of really tried to cancel Doctor Who, and sort of his successor was the one who ended the classic series of Doctor Who. More complex than that, but that was sort of what was happening there. Well, Michael Grade was involved with this one too. He canceled Wurzel Gummidge Down Under, and 1989 was the end of that.
Sad, but there you go. Yes, and how strange, Michael Grade is best remembered for the shows he cancelled rather than the shows he starred.
Yes, that's very much the case, actually, yes. Now, there was another little oddity that we learned about pretty recently, and that was a plan for an animated Wurzel Gummidge series. In fact, it was a claymation Wurzel Gummidge series. The BBC got involved and produced a pilot for this claymation Wurzel Gummidge. This was in the mid-1990s by this time. Was done with quite basic claymation. You know, fairly simple looking, but they had John Pertwee and Una Stubbs reprising their roles, doing the voices, and this was a plan to do a series, and the project was abandoned, sadly, because John Pertwee passed away in 1996.
And I think it just shows that John Pertwee just loved this character, Brian, that, you know, he was still interested in doing the Wurzel Gummidge voices for this claymation. And of course, as you say, we recently learned about this because the pilot episode was recently rediscovered and restored. It's the only episode that was completed. And if you Google Wurzel Gummidge claymation, you will find your way to the BBC news story about this discovery, which includes a clip of the claymation Wurzel with John Pertwee's voice. And who knows what's going to happen with that, Brian?
That's right. There is a video with the BBC article that has some interviews, and we do get to see a little bit of the claymation and a little bit of the claymation with the voices in there. But apparently they have been doing some work to get things put together to have this in a usable form. So hopefully that will form part of some kind of release, either on its own or a DVD and Blu-ray extra or some such thing. But hopefully we will get to see this episode as one more little piece of Wurzel Gummidge with John Pertwee.
Indeed, yes, let's look out for that. And do go and check the BBC News story, because it is it's a fascinating story, not only for, you know, Wurzel and John Pertwee, but also for the animator who produced it and, who has passed away. But his family now have this episode that he worked on, and it's lovely for them as well.
Absolutely. So there is also some exciting news. There is going to be some brand new Wurzel Gummidge coming out.
Yes, this is hot off the press because the BBC have announced that Mackenzie Crook, who is an actor, writer and director, is doing all three in some new versions of Wurzel Gummidge. They are planning 2 60-minute Wurzel Gummidge films. Mackenzie Crook will play the Scarecrow, but he's also writing and directing. And I know that it's going to involve a lot of the cast and crew of another series that Mackenzie Crook did, which I'm extremely fond of, called Detectorists. So it promises quite a lot, Brian. And we've seen one early image, I believe, of him in his Wurzel Gummidge makeup.
Yes, we have seen one photo, and it looks different from what we had in the original with John Pertwee, but it looks pretty good. It definitely looks like something that could fit into the idea of Wurzel Gummidge. So we have some interesting new stuff that's expected to come out and broadcast around Christmas of this year. That's Christmas of 2019. So we have new Wurzel Gummidge to look forward to.
Very exciting. And yes, the makeup does look different, but very interesting. So yeah, great stuff to look forward to.
So we should get into some of our own thoughts about this. Eamon, what did you like about Wurzel Gummidge?
John Pertwee. I mean, it's rare for us to talk about a show which is so much tied into one central performance, one personality, one, you know, staggeringly iconic British actor who just loved, I think, this character. He loved doing the comedy. He loved a chance to do the occasional song and dance. You can tell that John Pertwee loves this role, I think, Brian, and it just comes through in his performance.
Yes, absolutely. I think all of that is right. I will add that the writing in this and the sort of production and editing is actually quite tight. The pacing is good. It's very much a children's show. It is sort of silly and frivolous a lot of the time, as it's meant to be. But it's a well put together show, and it's quite tightly done.
Yes, and I was watching a couple of episodes with my wife, who has a background in teaching and used to be a head teacher, and she was sort of like praising the show for the way it taught imaginative play for children, and Wurzel's language, Wurzel's miming of his various parts of his home that he wants and things like this. It really is, you know, it's a delightful creation of this wonderful magical scarecrow brought so vividly to life by John Pertwee. And then, as you say, Brian, the production around him, it's well written, it's tightly directed. The performances, I think, throughout are just splendid, I think, Brian.
Yeah, it does what it's doing very well. It has no sort of question about, is it trying to be this or is it trying to be that? Is it trying to be a kids' television series or something for kids and adults? No, this is one that is clearly for kids, and it knows it. It does it without sort of extra padding or meandering. The pacing is quite quick. It's a really well put together show.
It is indeed. And as I say, it's got a wonderful cast. Look out for, obviously, Jeffrey Beldon as the Crow Man, who I think is marvellous. And some of the sort of mystique and mystery of the history of scarecrows and the Crow Man himself is very weird and wonderful to try and figure out.
That's right. You have lots of sort of little oddities of sort of the scarecrow language and the different heads. And they just sort of toss these things in as they go. And they don't get a lot of explanation, but they don't need them. They don't need it. It doesn't get bogged down in things like that. It moves right along.
If you're listening to Paul Cornell, the Doctor Who writer on the Hammer House of podcast, you may know that Michael Ripper, the character actor famous for many of the Hammer horrors, often referred to as Paul Cornell's family as him with the eye, and he's a regular in the series of Wurzel Gummidge as well, which is marvelous.
Yes, of course, very nice. Yeah, so it's a show that really sets out to do something and does it well. It's I think quite consistent in how it does things. It has, unusually, and we were talking about this before we started recording, it has very little recasting. For something that ran four series and then another couple of series in New Zealand, they introduced new characters, certainly for the Down Under series they did, but they do very little recasting of the original characters.
Yes, the child actors, who are really quite good for child actors, they grow up as you watch the four series, and that's just included in the show. You know, as you say, most of the main cast stay throughout the four series. Aunt Sally Eunice Stubbs is there throughout, of course, and she's wonderful, I should mention. Yeah, it's interesting. It's very, very sort of like tight cast, well produced. It's all fantastic, really.
Yeah, it does a very nice job of building its world without spending a lot of time on that. So it really does some nice things with this.
Yeah, I loved all the little details that creep in about Scarecrow society. Just these little hints that there's this wider world that we're not really completely privy to of what Scarecrows get up to and the rules that the Crowman sets and their parties and dances and so on. It's fantastic.
Oh, yes, for sure. Are there any specific episodes you would like to mention as favorites or things that you liked or were have anything particular to say about?
So I'll mention the first episode only because I've been listening to, as ever, more podcasts about folk horror. And the initial scenes of Wurzel coming to life and making his way to the children's farm before they have met him, before they realise what a comical and charming character he is, they're quite creepy and scary and sort of like memorable, I think. And I know, I mean, I've mentioned this to you before, Brian, but the lady who cuts my hair, hello, Lynn, if you're listening, get well soon. She's younger than me, and she found as a child she couldn't watch Wurzel Gummidge because it was too scary. And particularly when he changed his heads, she couldn't cope with that at all. So I suppose there are bits and pieces that might be too scary. I love when Wurzel is trying to get to a party, trying to crash either in a very upper-class party in the sort of country house or get to the Scarecrow Hop. I'm a particular fan of the Christmas episode. It does feel a little bit like all the character actors are turning up to do their song and dance number, but actually I'm okay with that. I loved it. So there's that one. Anything from the first four series, really, Brian? I'm afraid I've only watched the first couple of episodes from New Zealand, from Zealand, I should say, of Wurzel Gummidge Down Under. But really, the first four series from Southern TV, perhaps the Jumbly Sale as well. That was a great one. That's great fun with Wurzel crashing into a jumble sale in the village. What about yourself?
I particularly like the Scarecrow Hop, which gives us a nice build-up at this wonderful sequence of Wurzel Gummidge and Aunt Sally at this village dance and requesting the Scarecrow Hop and sort of getting to lead it. It's a very charming moment, and it's sort of something where they get to come into their own and be appreciated. So that's a really fun one. And as you mentioned, the first episode is also something really interesting. It is one that's actually quite different. It feels less like a children's series and fits more into that folk horror kind of feel of this sort of quite dark and moody, you know, sort of stormy scenes with Wurzel Gummidge first coming to life. And it's still topped and tailed with the opening and closing titles that have, a very children's TV feel to it with the music and so on. But the first episode does feel like a different kind of thing.
Yes, that's right. It finds its feet clearly in the second episode, and from then they're off with these wonderful and magical adventures with Wurzel. Yeah, it's great stuff. And I like your word charming. It is a very charming show. And so much of that, I think, comes from the performance of John Pertwee, who just inhabits this part and is delightful. The twinkle in his eye throughout, his wonderful mispronunciations of the English language, which, as I say, I would like to know how much of that is script and how much of that is Pertwee. But yeah, fantastic stuff.
It really is fun. It really works very well.
So downsides of this show, are there anything in the negative column that you would mention, Brian?
There isn't much. The obvious thing is that this is a children's show. And for those of us who are not children, watching it in large quantities, watching a lot at once, maybe a little much because, it's a bit silly and it's very much a children's show. It is what it is, and it's something that does that very well, but you have to remember that this is a children's show.
Yes, it is indeed, and we watch it with those eyes, and I think that's fine. The only thing that slightly bothered me, of course, was the quality of the transfer that I've been watching on the DVDs, which in the early series is very sort of muddy. And of course, the price of it is just far too expensive, particularly if you are after the whole thing. But yeah, I suppose if you're after just one or two episodes, and I would say that I don't think you need to, you know, watch all of Wurzel Gummidge. You want to pick up a couple of episodes or maybe the Christmas special to sit down and watch with your kids. And thankfully, those are reasonably cheap. But of course, you know, maybe more news on the horizon about Wurzel Gummidge and its availability. Who knows?
Yes, we can hope for something new, as there have been some hints at that. And I will agree to everything about the pricing and the quality of the transfers. I was looking at different DVD releases than you were, and the problems were also there with the transfer. It's quite beat up looking and not great video quality. One of the few drawbacks to this show is how it's currently distributed. So we do hope that will improve.
Yep, absolutely. Wait, watch this space.
So we should get to our recommendations. Eamon, what would you like to recommend?
Well, I think we've probably already said it. We, you know, I love John Pertwee as Wurzel Gummidge. And you need a little bit of Wurzel Gummidge in your life. You don't have to commit yourself to all 30 episodes and the Christmas special and the 22 follow-up episodes. I think you only need a couple of episodes, maybe, and the Christmas special, which fortunately are reasonably cheap to get on DVD. So I think in that format, while we wait for a bigger and better release, maybe for the 40th anniversary, who knows, I would say pick and choose a couple, sit down with the family and watch them. You'll have great fun with John Pertwee and Wurzel Gummidge. So that's my recommendation. What about yourself, Brian?
I will basically agree with that. This is definitely recommended. It's wonderful stuff. I think it is true that you don't need to watch everything. And if you're showing it to your kids, you might want to have everything because they might really be interested in that. And unfortunately, that's a bit pricey. But if you're watching it as an adult, yeah, pick and choose a couple of the releases. You know, there are the ones of an individual series or the ones with two or three episodes. And something like that is a good choice. But yes, this is definitely recommended.
Splendid stuff. And if you have your own memories of Wurzel Gummidge, or if you've shown it to your own kids recently, then please do get in touch on the Facebook group and let us know what you thought.
Absolutely. I am very much looking forward to that discussion. So, in summary, Wurzel Gummidge introduced us to John Pertwee in the lead role as this scarecrow, Wurzel Gummidge, who was brought to life by the Crow Man and becomes friends with these two children, John and Sue, siblings. And we get all sorts of adventures and mishaps and wonderful, silly things with Wurzel Gummidge getting into all sorts of things, and Aunt Sally, who is a fairground doll brought to life, becomes a major part of things as a love interest for Wurzel Gummidge, who is sometimes very fond of him and sometimes more scoffing and looking down at him. And we get adults who don't realize that he's there or think that he's some sort of homeless person or tramp. And we get all sorts of fun adventures over four seasons and an additional run with Wurzel Gummidge down under.
Splendid stuff all around. And do come back and join us next time when we have an appearance from another canonical Doctor and a companion actor, but it's a very different show to Wurzel Gummidge. We are in 2011 with ITV and Marchlands, an interesting and slightly creepy five-part show, which you may want to watch in advance, possibly streaming, and maybe watch it over five consecutive nights, Brian.
Yes, it will definitely be an interesting one to talk about. There is lots of stuff in there, for sure. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, where you can find all of our past episodes there. Over 300 of them. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our group there. where we always have some good discussion, and hopefully we'll have some good gumjury. I don't know how that works. Looking forward to discussing things there.
And for some more Scarecrow fun and games, perhaps join us at the Voice of Geeks Network, where British Invaders is one of the proud members. Check out all the details that you'll need to know by going to vognetwork.com. Vognetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, Brian, would you like to step in out of the rain?
For a nice cup of tea?
And a slice of cake? And a slice of cake?